The situation, and this has to bear in mind because of the application portion of this. First of all, it was a failure in leadership. Micah is addressing those who were leading the people. Secondly, there was sin and evilness. These leaders were actually corrupt leaders. And big deal for them. Spiritual darkness pervades this text. And then lastly, there's a broken relationship with God. It's very clear. And so the question is, Micah really is asking them, light of the world. Light of the world? God's people following me? The leaders? It's a good question. And Micah has a question right up front that kind of sets this in. And I took this, actually this title, Light of the World. Jesus said you're the light of the world. And so I kind of threw this into the New Testament, and we're going to principalize some things today. And I think they're in there, and I think it's important that we look at them and know them. First of all, we must apply the word and the challenge right up front. Notice he says, and I said, hear you heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel. Not only the spiritual leaders and the priests, but also probably the government, kind of a government issue. You could put this in the realm of government, but I would rather not do that. I would put this in the realm of where we live. Now notice what he says. And this obviously is the judges that would rule on cases and the leaders and the spiritual leaders. Notice he calls them Jacob and the house of Israel, both northern and southern. You just combine this. I think the scripture bears that out, that he's talking here about the whole of the nation of God's people. Is it not for you to know justice? And that word know means to apply the principles of God's word in ruling cases. Hence, you have the issue of applying God's word, and that can easily come over into our life. We need to know the word. Not only, this is a passage of scripture that's often talked about, misapplied, I think. Study to show yourself approved. He's actually talking to pastors. However, that can be applied into the realm of who we are as believers. That means that most of us, we have read the Bible and do read it, maybe on a regular basis, some maybe less than others, but it's more than just reading and studying the scripture. It's more than that. Because see, all scripture, at least in my thought, and the way I understand scripture, is that all scripture is inspired and is to be implied in the hearts and lives of the people and then lived out. So you can know a lot of scripture. I mean, hey, this is the leadership of the nation of Israel. They knew the scripture, but they were not applying it to the lives of God's people. They were not doing what they were called to do. And he says, aren't you supposed, if you put it in a modern context, don't you guys know my word and know how to do justice? Surely you do. Surely from the law of Moses and all the laws and precepts that I've written, surely you know how to do this. It was a big question. And actually it was a challenge to these leaders because he's getting ready to slam dunk them. Maybe that's the best way of putting it. But you know, brothers and sisters, you got to get in the word and you got to study it for yourself, and then you've got to apply that to your lives. When you see something in the text, and all of us, and I know all of you have done this. I'm not accusing anybody of not reading the scripture and applying it. But I know there's been times in your life and in mine when I read something and I go, bam. Do you know what that bam is? That bam is God talking to you about a specific area in your life, and then you take that and you begin to apply it on Monday. And you just live the scripture out. You read it, you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and then you say, okay, how, and I guess I believe that if you're a born-again believer and you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can read scripture, you can study it, and you know with the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know how to apply that to your life. Now, if you don't, now I'm not trying to be comical or funny about this, but if you read a text of Scripture and you're still not sure how to apply it, just come see me. Call. And I can try to help you. Maybe I can, maybe I can't. Maybe it's something you need to wrestle with God and learn to apply. But the issue here for the leaders was, hey, wait a minute. You guys know the word. Why aren't you applying the word to the justice? How you perform governmental actions for the people? Because actually, they did know the word, and they were misapplying it, and Micah calls them out on the carpet. You can see all of these leaders standing there. He says, aren't you supposed to know justice? Applying the word. Secondly, the consequences. This is about half the sermon, you realize. It's a page and a half of notes. And this goes right into it. I mean, he first gives them this question, aren't you supposed to apply this stuff? Because the word knowledge means to apply, or the word know means to apply, to take what's learned and apply it to justice. Now notice what he says. You who hate the good and love the evil, are you kidding me? Micah is calling the leadership of the nation of Israel evil. They actually like it. And when you look at what follows, it's easy to see. And they love evil. Now, Micah, this will probably be a pop quiz next week. You do realize that in everything now from 3:2 and 3:3 is figurative language, right? They didn't actually tear the flesh. But look at this. Who tear the skin off my people and their flesh from their bones. In other words, this is God's response to their idiocy in administering the laws of God to the people and actually following them out. This is what it looks like to God. Who eat the flesh of my people. Of course, Christians were accused of that when they did the Lord's Supper in the New Testament. And flay their skin off of them and break their bones and chop them into pieces and chop them up like meat in a pot, like flesh in a cauldron. Instead of shepherding, instead of guarding and guiding God's people, they actually treated God's people like animals. They butchered them, they cooked them, and they prepared them for eating. It was fillet time. And these were the leaders. Now, I don't know too many pastors that would fall on this category. But it is a warning to the leadership and those who are in the church at positions of leadership. You need to watch your motives. You need to watch your stuff. Because it is important to make sure that you're, particularly with me, caring for the sheep and doing the things that God has called me to do. Yeah, I think it's a warning. Now notice, the time of judgment is coming when the Assyrians will come down from the north. Watch this. And this verse 4 refers to the time of judgment, the day of judgment. Then, Micah says, then they will cry to the Lord. Who will cry to the Lord? The leaders. The people are going to have a taunt song against them, but they're going to cry to the Lord. But he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time because they made their deeds evil. So there's a consequence here. Number one, consequence of unanswered prayer. Now, I started thinking about this text. And I asked myself a question, and for you guys too. Have you ever had a time in your life when God did not answer your prayers? Where he seemed silent? Oh, come on now. Yeah. You know, and I thought about it, and I thought, God could be silent for a lot of reasons. Could be, God is silent because he wants you to learn something. Or maybe he wants you to be more persistent in your prayer. But here's a third option. And I just want to throw this out as a question. Do you think there's ever a time in your life when God is silent because you have sin in your heart? It's a thought. Secondly, Not only that, but God is distant. Look at verse 4b. He will hide his face from them. Same thought. These leaders were evil. They were sinful. And you could almost say, godless. And yet they were the ones leading the church, the people of Israel. So the question there again is in times of your life when God seems distant, it could be that God is maybe wanting, because you realize God is never really distant. He could be asking you to trust him. But those times when you feel like God is distant, how is your relationship with him? What does the scripture say? Draw near to God, and he will draw what? Near to you. I think that's a good question. Now notice verse 5. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets, or those who spoke for God, who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against him who puts nothing in their mouths. So here's the deal. Basically, the people would give the prophets money so they could buy food. They would be able to eat. If a person did not give the prophet money to eat, they would just make war against them. So in other words, they were being paid by the people. And these are not actually the priests, but they are the prophets. And so when those prophets, these prophets that were leading the nation of Israel, did not receive something from somebody that they thought was adequate and acceptable, they would make war against that individual. In other words, give me, give me, give me, and I'll, if you don't, then we're going to take care of it. Therefore, God says in verse 6, therefore it shall be night to you, without vision and darkness to you. Okay, this is a consequence. Number 3, number 3 in verse 6, spiritual darkness. It shall be night to you without vision, darkness to you without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. You can almost get a sense that Micah is completely destroying the prophets. He's telling them, you guys are jacked up. And therefore, when you call out to God and you try to seek God, you're not going to find him. He's going to hide his face from you. To me, the worst thing that can happen in the life of a Christian, in these guys' lives, is that God hid his face from them. And of course, the spiritual darkness. They will not see or hear from God. The seers shall be disgraced, the diviners put to shame, and they shall cover all their lips, for there will be no answer from God. Wow. Serious, serious consequences for not obeying God's word. More about that in a few minutes. Now, Micah now says, be filled with the Spirit. I broke this down into two verses. We'll look at the meaning first. I want you to understand here that Micah has just said all of this about the leaders, about the prophets. He said all that, and he said, but let me show you my life. This is how you guys are living. But now let me show you about me. Huge transition from 7 to 8. Huge transition. Now notice what he says. But as for me, Micah, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin. Let's look at this word filled just for a minute. This is actually, I could have put the word up there, but I want you to get a picture. Filled means in a container. Micah said that he was filled all the way up. What were the leaders filled with? They were filled with sin. an abomination and disgrace. There's a New Testament principle here, folks. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. So if we were to apply this, and I know there's problems theologically with this, but giving this particular glass and looking at it as just a way to visualize this. I don't know of any New Testament passage, and I went back through it. I don't know of any New Testament passage that says, this is how you be filled with the Spirit. Step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. I don't know of any. But I do know the Bible talks about this a lot, being filled with the Spirit. So the question for us is, how are we filled for the Spirit? How does that happen? And I don't think the Bible is specifically clear, but there are principles. There are principles. You get the Spirit at the moment of salvation. We all understand that. And how we actually go about this, it's kind of a cool picture, I think, because I guess there is a point when you can be completely filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of our charismatic brothers and sisters take this to mean flopping around on the ground and that type of filling. I'm not sure about that, but there is an issue. If you have a lot, just play with this just for a minute in your own mind. If you have a lot of sin in your life, how much room do you have for the Holy Spirit? You say, well, Pastor, does that mean I can be sent? Well, you're going to have some element of the Holy Spirit in you at the moment of salvation. But I think the Christian life is to try to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us more and more and more. Isn't that right? I mean, you want more of Him in you and less in the world in you, and you want to shoot that out. Well, the way to do that, I think, and I'm going to give you three possible ways that you can do this. Like I said, I didn't find any particular text that said step one, you do this, step two, but I'm going to give you some steps. And I think they're pretty basic. Number one, you got to confess known sin. And I didn't have space to put it on here, but not only confess the sin, but to what? Repent of it. If you want more of God in your life, then you've got to do what David said. God, create in me a what? A new heart. And the only way to create a new heart is we got to get sin out of our lives. That means sin is offensive. We're so good at it, aren't we? Aren't we so good at justifying our sin? Oh, yes, we are. Well, that's under the blood of Jesus. Okay. Sin is still offensive to God. You do realize that, right? That's why Christ had to go to the cross. So I think probably one of the steps that we need to do, if we're going to have more of the Holy Spirit in us, and there's also benefits, and I'm getting ready to get to that, but I think this is so important. Now, I don't know how we get there, but I do know one thing that we can do is confess our sin. How many of you have sin in your life today? We have got to start confessing and repenting of our sin. It is a big deal. And the more that you let, it's like many of you have computers. If you let those cookies and everything build up in your computer, what happens? The computer slows down, right? You get all these viruses and stuff in there, and the computer slows down, and you go, man, this computer is slow. I think that's kind of maybe the same principle in our lives. The more sin, now you say in one sense you are sinless. That's absolutely true. This is kind of a tough issue to grasp, but anyway. Secondly, I think you have to desire God. I think I wasn't sure how to do this. Do you desire God first and then start getting rid of the sin? And then I started thinking logically, they could either be first. Either one of them could be first. But if you do this first, then you're going to have a desire for God. How's your desire for God? You on fire for Him? Chances are you've done this. Or is you just kind of drifting along in the sea of Christian spiritualism? kind of floating through the light, resting on the finished work of Christ. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong with somebody that has no heart for God. I read an article the other day, and this, actually, I did not read it. Audrey read it to me. And the lady at the end of it said, "I am a devout Christian." And I go, "Really?" Because I don't get that when I read Scripture. And it was like a major sin. And I'm like, "I'm sorry, I don't get that." And then I think you have to do this. You have to ask God to help fill you. Right? You get real with God and be filled with the Spirit. Now let's look at the benefits. Be filled with the Spirit, 8b. Notice what he says here. With power, notice he says, "But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might." And of course, his logical conclusion to this, the purpose of that filling was to declare to Jacob his transgressions and Israel his sin. I can tell you unequivocally that the prophets were not filled with power, they were not filled with the Spirit, and they did not have justice, and they did not have might. Everything the opposite, because they were telling people, peace, safety, everything's fine, God loves us. Even though we're sinning, God loves us. Let's look at this. Benefits of being filled with the Spirit. Power, the Hebrew word, means inner strength. That means, and Micah would have, listen, Micah would have had to have had inner strength to write this stuff. So when you're weak, it may be an indication that you are not filled with the Spirit to the fullness. I think Micah was. I mean, God was in him, on him. It was very clear, because you cannot talk to people like this without being killed. I mean, he didn't just stand up. He stood up. But there was something. Micah had something in him that was burning. And who was that? That was God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, justice. This word justice means discernment. Big warning sign. I think it's a big warning sign. If you are constantly making poor or bad decisions in your life as it relates to spiritual issues, and you constantly make bad decisions, you need to make sure that you're filled. I mean, if you are living your life and you go, "Man, I always seem to make mistakes." Now, we're going to make mistakes, but I've made tons. But if you're constantly doing that in the little things of life, then a big question to ask is, am I filled with the Spirit? Micah made good decisions. And then might means courage. Do you know why the church is losing the battle? You do realize that churches eventually are going to lose all of their rights here in America? And do you know why the church is losing its rights when it talks about abortion, gay marriage, all of these social issues? Do you know why we are losing our rights? The church lacks courage to confront the culture. We want to blend in rather than to speak out. It's coming. It is coming, because the church in America is on the brink. I see it now in the military. I'm telling you, back when I was in from 78 to 90, when I was in, it was unheard of to have homosexuality serving in the military. It was unheard of. Now they are celebrating it. It was unheard of to even think about putting a woman into combat. They just passed it. Women can now serve in combat. Unheard of things that are happening. That's just in our military and then nationwide. And I think the reason is we have lost our courage. And then a natural question is, with our discernment and inner strength, has the church lost the filling of the Holy Spirit? Not the salvation of the Holy Spirit, but the filling of the Holy Spirit. We are the light of the world. We should not look like the darkness of the world. And it should show in our lives. You say, Pastor, you're really tough. No, I'm just saying it like it is. This is pretty clear. Lastly, and seek purity. And we talk here about lifestyle. Look at their lifestyle. And then I'm going to have some funny things to say here, so it kind of lightens the mood. Hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who detest justice and make crooked all that is straight. Okay. Who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. In other words, they were building the temple, but it was at the payment and cost of others and godless living. Its heads give judgment for a bride. Its priests teach for a price. Its prophets practice divination for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord in our midst? No disaster shall come upon us, surely. We're sinful, but God's got our back. Their lifestyle, and this is where I want to kind of have some fun, because it is the realm of government. Actually, I tried to find one that said a little more numbers than that. Because I tell you what, you do know we do have corrupt government officials. This is what was happening. They were taking bribes, kind of what happens in our government today, to get legislation passed. They would sometimes incorporate things, and sometimes they would take money and vacations and trips. Usually and hopefully those guys wind up in jail. Terre Haute. So these guys, these leaders of Israel, were corrupt and they were taking bribes. Did you see this? Let's look at this just again real quick. Notice this. Its heads take judgment for a bribe. In other words, if you want to beat the system, just pay me. Its priests teach for a price. In other words, I will teach you the word of God, but it's going to cost you money. Nothing wrong with paying a pastor money. That's biblical. But these guys had a wrong issue. They had a wrong heart issue. Its prophets practice divination, which is basically fortune telling. It's the best way to put it, I guess, fortune telling. Yet they lean on the Lord and they say, isn't God with us? And we do all of our sin. And we practice all of our sin. And then we say, isn't God with us? And that's a tough, tough issue. Let me ask you a question. Can we live our lives how we want? Sure we can. We do it all the time. Can we live our lives the way we want? Can that be good or can that be bad? Can be. If you live your life to seek and serve God, that's what? That's good. You still have a choice. You still have a choice how you live. But if you live your life after having trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you've understood the spiritual implications of the cross, and if you choose to live your life in ways that are disobedient to God, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a bad thing. So here you have a choice. You can choose a lifestyle which seeks to follow God and His rules and His precepts, Or you can choose a life to where you feed the flesh. And we go back to the image of the spirit, and then you start wondering, you're all filled with sin, you're going to heaven. I know it's hard to understand that, but and you need to push that stuff out. Seek a life of purity. Seek a life to please God. This is you are and I am not our own. You realize that. You were bought with a price. These prophets didn't get it. Their lifestyle was immoral, and of course the inevitable result, verse 12, the inevitable result of, and I put seeking purity up there just because these guys weren't. It's kind of the opposite of what they did. Notice the result, verse 12. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed, and actually this happened in 586 B.C. You can see that in Jeremiah 26:18. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. And actually, that wooded height refers to overgrown weeds. Here's the consequence and the result of all this. A plowed field. I wish Dennis was here. He would know that. What once was pretty and bright is now going to be plowed under. 586 BC, the Assyrians took care of this. Micah had a great ministry under Hezekiah, the last of the kings before, at least for him. But not only that, Jerusalem. I want you to look at this. God's holy temple. This is not God's holy temple, but it's to make a point. God's holy temple will be a rubble, a ruin. And when they go into captivity, the weeds are going to grow up. I think there's a spiritual lesson to learn here about getting the weeds out of our heart. Living a lifestyle that's pleasing to God, not doing what we want to do, but following Him. And then plucking that stuff out before we get into trouble. You do know that if you live your life long enough in disobedience to God, bad things will happen to you. You do realize that, right? So, you know, are we the light of the world? Are we a city set on a hill? I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. And we know Scripture. We know to apply it. We know that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, just let Him have more control of you than the world does, if you want to boil it down that way. And then to seek a life which is not relying on fortune tellers, which is not being greedy, which is all the opposite of what these guys were. So the question I guess I have for you is, are you the light of the world in your part of the world? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you trusted in Him? If you have, good. Now, secondly, follow that up and try to get more of the Holy Spirit to fill your life than that which is of the world. I think Paul says that's what the struggle was, right? The flesh and the spirit. I think it was a pretty good picture.